You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. Welcome back to In the Grand Theme of Things. This is our third and final podcast dealing with that most arcane, unusual electronic instrument called the blaster beam, and produces unearthly sounds the likes of which you have never heard. Of course, it's best known from Star Trek: The Motion Picture, the black hole, Battle Beyond the Stars, Meteor. We've played a lot of stuff featuring the beam. In fact, in the last installment, I just added the beam to a whole song that it hadn't been a part of to begin with, just for fun, because you can never have enough blaster beam. All of the albums heard here, you can purchase your own copies of. Just visit thelogbook.com/music/podcast. Today's installment, Beam Obscura, some of the beam's more obscure appearances in soundtracks. The first selection we'll be hearing today is from the IMAX movie Kronos. The music was by Michael Stearns, who constructed his own beam to play for the soundtrack. The movie, like I said, it's an IMAX movie. It is about, it's kind of a visual poem about the passage of time. It's sort of an experimental photography thing with, you know, there are no characters, no dialogue. In essence, you are watching carefully curated and created examples of time passing. And so the music has a chance to take center stage. And so here is some more blaster beam, because you need more blaster beam in your life. The movie was Kronos, the IMAX film. The music is by Michael Stearns.
Thank you.
Music from the IMAX film Kronos by Michael Stearns, featuring the Blaster Beam. The movie was released in 1985, making this actually one of the Blaster Beam's later appearances in the 80s. But the Beam did make a few other guest appearances throughout the 80s, one of which was it featured very briefly in V, The Final Battle. I don't know if anyone remembers this. V, The Final Battle, musically speaking, from a soundtrack perspective, was a very troubled miniseries. It was a troubled miniseries to begin with because NBC ordered it on the strength of the original V miniseries, which was written and directed by Kenneth Johnson. And they wanted more of the same, but they wanted more action. They wanted it to be... And, you know, these words had to be the bane of the existence of every filmmaker from 1977 through the end of the 80s. Could you make it a little bit more like Star Wars? Kenneth Johnson bowed out of the production of V, The Final Battle fairly early on. New writers took over, new directors took over. And there was even a problem in the music department because the first installment was scored by Barry Dvorzon, who did the music for the movie The Warriors. So this was not someone who had no musical pedigree, but for whatever reason, his vision for the music for V, The Final Battle was not what NBC wanted, not what the producers wanted. He was shown to the door in fairly short order and replaced on very short notice by Dennis McCarthy, who later scored virtually every other episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise. And Dennis McCarthy has a huge musical legacy with the word Star Trek attached to it, but this was his first foray into science fiction, and they wanted something more orchestral, less overtly synthesized, but he had to sort of meet them in the middle on that. He had to use some synthesizers simply because time was against him. He had 1 week to rescore the first part of V, The Final Battle. 1 week from taking the job to having a completed, recorded, engineered, orchestral score. So, I know a lot of people kind of crap all over McCarthy's sometimes tame, repetitive contributions to Star Trek The Next Generation and its successors, but the fact of the matter is, the man is a machine when it comes to composing music for that genre. And yes, any composer that you have working on the same project years on end, yes, it's going to start sounding similar, no matter who it is. But for his first bow in the science fiction genre, this really isn't bad. So here's Dennis McCarthy with just a little bit of Blaster Beam. Some selections from V, The Final Battle. That was music from V, The Final Battle, composed by Dennis McCarthy on very short notice. The V, The Final Battle soundtrack, none of the V soundtracks are, strictly speaking, officially available. They were released in the 90s by a label, which no longer exists, called Supertracks, which was a label, so to speak, that was set up by a couple of guys who did private pressings of recent material from various composers. And the thing is, composers used to do this. They used to send out demo CDs of their recent work as they looked for the next job. That in itself was not uncommon, but it was also in the, in the days before home CD burners, it was very expensive. And so what Supertracks did was it would press, nicely designed, professionally duplicated CDs for these composers, so long as there was just sort of this quiet understanding that maybe a few thousand copies would make their ways into the hands of collectors. And that is where that soundtrack comes from. Sadly, it's not generally available. If there is a link for it that I can find where you can purchase a copy, I will put it at thelogbook.com/music/podcast so you can track down your own copy. Anyway, one of the things I wanted to accomplish in doing a podcast about the Blaster Beam, and it's turned into three podcasts about the Blaster Beam, is I wanted to find out when we first heard this sound. Actually, no, that's not what I wanted to find out. What I wanted to find out was when was the first time we heard that sound in a soundtrack. I think we've spent the previous two installments establishing that the Blaster Beam is an instrument with very limited applications, and I could see an argument being made for it having very limited appeal. But where was the first time we heard it, specifically in movie music or TV music? Actually, as it turns out, the answer is TV music. And here's something else to surprise you. This example predates Star Trek the Motion Picture by almost 2 years. So first let's listen to the music. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to let you hear it in all of its 70s glory. Because this has a beat to it. It has a beat and a beam. What more could you possibly ask for? See if you can figure out what it is. On the flip side, I'll tell you what it is and when it aired. Which also brings in the question of when it was recorded, which brings us to our 2 years before Star Trek the Motion Picture figure. music was by Joe Harnell, and perhaps somewhat appropriately, considering that earlier we were talking about Be the Final Battle, Joe Harnell was sort of the composer of choice for Kenneth Johnson, who did the original V. In fact, the original V miniseries was scored by Joe Harnell. Joe Harnell also scored Kenneth Johnson's earlier and later television projects. Joe Harnell scored the pilot episode of Alien Nation on Fox. He scored most of the episodes of Kenneth Johnson's TV adaptation of The Incredible Hulk. And yes, Joe Harnell scored that episode of The Bionic Woman. The premiere date was January 28, 1978. The episode was called The Martians Are Coming, The Martians Are Coming. And yes, that was from an episode of The Bionic Woman. The music is available from joeharnell.com. Joe, unfortunately, has passed on, but his website is maintained with the blessing of Mr. Harnell's family by Mark Banning, who was a liner notes booklet designer for Crescendo Records in its heyday, and now runs his own label, BSX Records. He also runs websites for Dennis McCarthy and Joe Harnell. So, considering the average production timetable of television, for that episode to have aired in January of 1978, I think it's safe to assume that the episode was the music was written and recorded in late 77. So just months after Star Wars, someone specifically Joe Harnell, happened across the sounds of the beam and thought, hey, you know what? This has sci-fi written all over it. And that, in a roundabout way, at the end of our Blaster Beam podcast experience, is the beginning of the story. Thanks for listening. I hope all you Blaster Beam fans out there are happy. There are probably some other examples I could bring into it. Stuff like The Thin Red Line, which was an early Hans Zimmer soundtrack, has just a smidge of Blaster Beam in it. But I wasn't convinced that it had enough to really merit inclusion. And I wasn't sure I could really stretch this out into 4 installments. I'm not sure anyone would want me to stretch it out into 4 installments. It's only here by virtue of me being a Blaster Beam fanatic, which I think we've established that already. And if we haven't established that, then here is one final example, a little homebrew example, once again played with samples of the isolated Blaster Beam track on La La Land Records' Star Trek The Motion Picture soundtrack. Here is a reworking of Mission, a world record by Electric Light Orchestra, to send us out. This is not officially available, this is me just having fun. It's originally from the 1976 album A New World Record, one of my all-time favorite albums in the history of albums of any genre. I hope you enjoy listening. I hope you enjoyed listening. Thanks for listening to In the Grand Theme of Things.
For many days we traveled from a distant place in time to reach a place they call the planet Earth. There was to be a celebration on the mission of the Sacred Heart. The planet Earth from way up there is beautiful and blue and floating softly through a rainbow. But when you touch down, things look different here at the mission of the Sacred Heart. Watching all the days grow dry, who are you and who am I? Sidewalk sits a mother with a baby. In a valley of tears, he sees no rainbow. And someone singing from a window in the mission of the sea.
That's all for now. In the grand theme of things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.